We're going to be discussing four verses this morning from Canto 3, Chapter 13, Texts 1 through 4. And Chapter 12 ends with a description of Manu, because Chapter 12 has a lot to do with Visarga. It's one of the 10 topics of the Bhagavatam. Visarga means what Brahma does. Sarga is what Vishnu does. He gets everything ready. From the unmanifest to the manifest state. And he invests Brahma, that's in the earlier descriptions, with the capacity, Srishti Shakti, the capacity to put the universe together, and the intelligence, and the blueprint, and, you know, all the categories of engineering you need to build something, but to speak of universe, he's ready. And then Brahma does what Brahma does. That's chapter 12. And one of the things that happens at the end of what Brahma does is he manifests from his own body the first of the 14 Manus during the early part of his day, and that's Swayambhuva Manu. Swayambhuva Manu is Manu number one. Swayambhuva Manu has three daughters and two sons. The chapter ends indicating his entrusting those daughters in marriage for the purpose of two things: populating the universe, not just a planet, but the universe, with living entities. So they're Prajapatis, or Manu has that function, and as does Lord Brahma. So on behalf of Lord Brahma, he does. And he gives laws for the mankind, for the human species, because the human species has a very important role to play, at least on this planet, and wherever there's other species of life, maybe there's species of life on Mars. Scientists haven't found it yet. Anyway, there's life, Sarvagata, the living entities everywhere, according to Bhagavad Gita. And so laws are given by Manu for mankind, 400,000 varieties and species. He gives laws, and so the first one is the Prajapati function. So, chapter, the very last verse of chapter 12 is the father handed over his first daughter, Akuti, to the sage Ruchi. The middle daughter, Devahuti, to the sage Kardama. And the youngest, Prasuti to Daksha. From them all the world, Jagat, so the universe, filled with population. That's the last verse of the chapter. So later on in this third canto, there's the expanded section describing Devahuti's marriage with Kardama and everything that followed with that. And important because an incarnation of the personality of Godhead appeared as their son, along with other things that they did. So the importance goes there later. And now the chapter opens with Shukadeva Goswami speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, "O King, after hearing all these most virtuous topics from the sage Maitreya, Vidura inquired further on the topics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which he adored to hear. So going back to the first chapter of this third canto, without details, there's the meeting of Vidura with Maitreya. There's lots of details that happen, but Shukadev Goswami is narrating. The two meet. Vidura asks questions, really, really good questions. And the next two cantos and a half are responses to those questions and then elaborations requested upon those questions, the answers. So that's what's happening here. Shukadev Goswami is narrating something that happened previously to Maharaj Parikshit. So it's a discussion within a discussion. That's Puranic. Prabhupada's purport, the word adritaha, katha adritaha, vasudeva katha. This phrase, vasudeva katha, is an important phrase in the Bhagavatam. It appears many times. This is my neophyte, little appreciation of the composition of the Bhagavatam. There are certain phrases that appear again and again and again. And by hearing them again and again, something happens. This, aha, this is important. And when you get the sense that, aha, this is important, you pay more attention to it. And when you hear that sound, it invokes the message behind the sound. Let's take Prabhupada's use of the phrase fruitive activities. How many times did he? And that was his phrase. I'm not aware of any other acharya in our sampradaya or elsewhere. It was like he coined the phrase. And over and over, so you hear it over and over, and it means something. You go like, hey, what does he mean when he says fruitive activities? And then you unpack it, and then you spend the time to carefully understand the language. And then when you hear fruitive activities, it means a whole bunch of stuff. I liken it to classical music. I'm not a classical musician or a scholar of classical music, but the little bit that I know is in classical music, there are certain notes. This is my voice message. Do, 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 do. And then the flute goes do, 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 do. And the violins go do-do-do-do-do. And the bass goes. And then the three of them go together, and then they go on to other stuff, and then it comes back again, and then it comes back again. It becomes like, hey, that's cool. It creates a certain mood. We know from the science of music that raga creates a mood. And certain combination of notes create a certain mood for different times of the day, etc. In literary composition, similarly, certain phrases appear again and again, I have noted. Especially in a canto, there's a certain phrase that appears again and again in the canto. Just, this isn't the main theme, it's just my appreciation of the composition of the Bhagavatam. There are phrases that carry import. Those phrases move the heart. And you hear the phrase and your heart moves. If you have heard, like somebody last night, two somebodies last night after the Lansing program, really late night program, but because of the drive back. But two persons came, kind of the scholarly type of person, devotional, scholarly type of devotees. You're knowledgeable. And so immediately, I wanted them to appreciate it's not just information. That doesn't take you anywhere. It takes you into the realm of pride. I got so much information. That's not the purpose of hearing. The purpose of hearing is like watering a seed. And then the seed grows. The hearing, our process of hearing, our process of studying Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and hearing it, discussing it, it's to nourish the seed of bhakti. That's what it's for. Shravanam Kirtanam. Vishnu Smaranam. It awakens remembrance of Krishna because one becomes attached to Krishna through a heart that's become pure by that sound vibration. It's one of the potencies of the name Krishna or the sound Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. It awakens bhakti, and following bhakti comes jnana and vairagya, knowledge and detachment. That's what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came, his teaching was knowledge and detachment, but his teaching was bhakti. Bhakti awakens knowledge and detachment. So we're not interested, per se, in knowledge or information kind of knowledge. We're interested in awakening of bhakti. And if you hear properly this Vasudeva Katha, you become attached to Vasudeva Katha. And that's what's being said here about Vidura. Vasudeva Katha Adritaha. Adritaha means he adored. He had affection, he had affinity, he had it. He was an elevated devotee. He wasn't a sadhaka. We're sadhakas. He wasn't a sadhaka. Vidura is very dear to Krishna. And Krishna is very dear to him. When Krishna went to Hastinapur and he was greeted in a formal way, cosmetically formal way, by Dhritarashtra, no, by Duryodhana, Mahabharat. Festival. Flags, fresh banana trees cut, rose petals, scented water, brahmanas, mantras, conch shells, you know, festival. Krishna is coming to Hastinapur. It was cosmetic. And Duryodhana greeted him. He went outside the city, at the gate of the city, to receive this VIP. Well, culture. Cosmetic. And said, "Oh, my dear cousin, what great fortune that you have come. We are so delighted. Da-da-da-da-da. Please accept an invitation to have meal at my home, my palace." Krishna. There are two reasons that someone may eat. One is that they're hungry. And the other is they may not be hungry, but there's love. I'm not hungry. And there's no love. Your animosity towards the Pandavas means there's no love in your heart. In fact, for that matter, there's no residence in the whole of Hastinapur that's appropriate for me to reside and take my meal other than one place, Vidura. Because Vidura has love. Like, very direct. Krishna had a plan, and guess what? It happened. So he went to the home of Vidura, because there's love. Now, fast forward in time, Vidura's been on pilgrimage. Vidura is told by Uddhava that before Krishna left the world, he mentioned your name and said, he wants you to hear from Maitreya. So, what did Vidura feel? Simultaneous, this happens in spiritual life, simultaneous joy and great sorrow. Krishna thought of me before his departure. Sorrow, I'll never see Krishna again in this lifetime. But he had some service, so he went to Maitreya and he acquired from Maitreya. And he had this adritaha, this great eagerness. He, Prabhupada's translation, he adored Vasudeva Katha. Vasudeva Katha Ruchi Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punyatirta Nishepa, from first canto. It's a phrase. An important phrase. So now let's hear Prabhupada's purport. The word adrita has significance because it indicates that Vidura had a natural inclination for hearing the transcendental message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he was never fully satisfied, though continuing to hear those topics. He wanted to hear more and more so that he could be more and more blessed by the transcendental message. Here's one of the themes. There's more embedded in these first four verses. This is the bhakti process. Rupa Goswami summarized for us the nine bhakti processes. And fortunately, Prahlad Maharaj also told his dear demoniac father the nine processes of bhakti that begins with Shravanam. What's the best thing? Bhakti. It begins with Shravanam. Hearing, same as his message to these two gentlemen yesterday, it's not about knowledge or being a knowledgeable person. Just hear. If you have faith in hearing, no small thing, if you have faith in hearing and you hear with faith, and another small thing, you really want to know. Not like a gyani, but you want to know Krishna. But Krishna can only be known through bhakti, that you find out when you hear. So I want my devotion for Krishna to arouse and be awakened and become more and more. Not just behavior or activity, but attachment to Krishna, adoring the topics of Krishna means adoring Krishna. Adoring the holy name means adoring the person, because there's no difference between the name and the person. Now, from a material standpoint, whoever heard of such a thing? But from a spiritual standpoint, it's a fact. So the adoring of Krishna becomes awakened by hearing with faith. And this impetus or inspiration or purpose of, I want to know. I want to begin my relationship with Krishna. Hearing for that purpose. Text 2. No purport. Vidura said, oh, great sage, what did Swayambhuva Manu, the dear son of Brahma, do after obtaining his very loving wife? Now, it's already said they had children. Three daughters mentioned, and what happened with those three daughters. Now he's going back, you know, to explain further about this wonderful relationship between husband and wife. Now, what's a sadhu have an interest in, you know, what goes on between husband and wife? Sounds, you know, mundane or something like that. Let's hear. Oh, best of the virtuous. That's Vidura speaking to Maitreya. The original king of kings, Manu, was a great devotee of the personality of Godhead Hari, and thus it is worth hearing of his sublime character and activities. Huh, because of his connection with Hari. He's a great devotee of Hari. And so the activities with his wife wasn't a mundane thing. It was a, that which is in contact with the Supreme Personality of God had become fully spiritualized. He's a great devotee. And so it's worthy. Vidura is not interested in mundane topics, nor is Maitreya interested in mundane topics. Shukadeva Goswami is not interested in repeating mundane topics. Not a mundane topic. That's another essential message of the Bhagavatam. Topics about the Lord includes topics about the devotees of the Lord. They're not separate. We only want to talk about the Lord. But he's not separate from his devotees. Go back, just another appreciation of the theme that's in the Bhagavatam again and again. This is another one of them. That comes, the first Vasudeva Katha or Krishna Katha that is narrated by Suta Goswami to the sages is after, right after the Atmarama verse, or verses, Atmarama verse, and some of you may be new and don't know what that is. Very important verse, Canto 1, Chapter 7, where beginning of the chapter, the question was given, exactly goes back a little bit, but how did the Bhagavatam appear? We hear about Krishna's appearance, we hear about Radharani's appearance, etc. How did the Bhagavatam appear? So it's described how the Bhagavatam appeared. And after Vyasadeva compiled the Bhagavatam, it says, chapter 7, he taught it to Shukadeva extensively. And then the question arises, wait a minute. Shukadeva was already at the topmost stage of Brahman realization. He was already there. He didn't need to study anything. Why did he study this text? Why did he go to school and take lessons? He's already a realized, Brahman realized soul. Already. Why? And then comes the Atmarama verse. Even souls like Shukadeva, fully Brahman realized souls like Shukadeva, they're attracted to the messages of Krishna because the messages of Krishna are not material. So even such persons, fully satisfied within, not hankering for anything outside because that's material consciousness, not satisfied inside, hankering for happiness outside, he's even such souls that aren't there, they like. They adore the topics of Krishna. And so, what do the sages, headed by Shonaka Rishi, say? Oh, Krishna Katha. Give us some Krishna Katha, please. You're an expert narrator of Krishna Katha. And so the first thing he speaks about is the Pandavas. And Prabhupada raises the question, huh? Why is he speaking about the Pandavas? Because they wanted Krishna Katha. And then Prabhupada explains, because the Pandavas have no separate existence than their life in connection with Krishna. Krishna is totally connected to the Pandavas. So the topic about the Pandavas is Krishna Katha. It's as valuable. And that's the first Krishna Katha. Now here's another one. It's about, you know, the Manu, Swayambhuva Manu and his good wife. And tell me about their marriage. Tell me about their activities together. Pure devotion to Krishna. totally according to Krishna's desire, ready to do whatever Krishna wants. So what was that like? How did that play out? Please describe these activities. Summary, again. Hearing the activities of such personalities, even the, quote, material affairs of such activities, of such personalities, it's not material. It's fully spiritual and spiritualizing and of interest to Shukadeva Goswami. And here it's Vidura. It's good. And the fourth verse, persons who hear from a spiritual master with great labor and for a long time, oops, I want to go back and read the purport to text 3. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of the transcendental topics of the personality of Godhead and his pure devotees. In the absolute world, there is no difference in quality between the Supreme Lord and his pure devotees. Therefore, hearing the topics of the Lord and hearing the topics of the character and activities of the pure devotee have the same result, namely, the development of devotional service. So, text 4. Persons who hear, and the Sanskrit for text 1, it was adritaha. He adored hearing. Vasudeva Katha adritaha. In text 3, it's a different Sanskrit term but has the same meaning. Shraddhaya, Shraddhadhanaya, one who is eager to receive. So there's an eagerness. There's a behavior, and there's the consciousness behind the behavior. We're all hearing this. And even if you're asleep, you're hearing. But because the ear is still... But there's qualities of hearing. And not the only factor, but big factor is eagerness to hear. This message that I shared, you know, I want to know, I want to be in my... What's the eagerness resting upon? Why are you eager to hear? If you don't know the why, then it could be, I just want more information so I can have people say, oh, you know a lot. You're an educated person. They go, yeah. I know a lot. Contamination, pride. And then the ears are plugged. The bhakti ear is plugged. So it's important. Why? It's important. And in the beginning, the why isn't as strong as it could be, should be. Maybe, you know, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, four reasons people, you know, do devotional service. They want. Different categories and mixes of those categories. To progress in Krishna consciousness, those why factors need to change a bit. To be in your relationship with Krishna. So the eagerness, the what, is driven by the why. So previously is adore, here is eager to receive, because when you receive with an eagerness to be connected with Krishna, or have pure consciousness instead of the other kind, let's say dirty consciousness or conditioned consciousness or whatever language somebody's comfortable with, I want to become pure. And pure means there's nothing other than the relationship with Krishna in my life. No. Other things may be there in my life because it's in relation to my relationship with Krishna. Like Svayambhuva Manu and Shatarupa. The purpose of their life is one thing. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. So hearing about them has that effect. provided in proportion to the degree that there's eagerness. Bhakti is awakened. Even if we're asleep, bhakti is awakened. That's the potency. But more effective as you're awake, and more effective as you're eager, and more effective as you have the right reason to be eager. The why is really clear. Take some time to get to that place. But that's bhakti. So, text 4. Persons who hear from the spiritual master with great labor and for a long time must hear from the mouths of pure devotees about the character and activities of pure devotees. Pure devotees always think within their hearts of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead who awards his devotees liberation. Purport. Transcendental students. We're trying to be. Are those who undergo great penance in being trained by hearing the Vedas from a bona fide spiritual master. Not only must they hear about the activities of the Lord, but they must also hear about the transcendental qualities of the devotees who are constantly thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord within their hearts. A pure devotee of the Lord cannot be separated from the lotus feet of the Lord for even a moment, undoubtedly. The Lord is always within the hearts of all living creatures, but they hardly know it. They know about it because they're deluded by the illusory material energy. The devotees, however, realize the presence of the Lord, and therefore they can always see the lotus feet of the Lord within their hearts. Such pure devotees of the Lord are as glorious as the Lord, semicolon. They are, in fact, recommended by the Lord as more worshipable than he himself. Worship of the devotee is more potent than worship of the Lord. It is therefore the duty of the transcendental students to hear of pure devotees, as explained by similar devotees of the Lord. Because one cannot explain about the Lord or his devotees unless one happens to be a pure devotee himself. You can't give what you haven't received. The eagerness to receive precedes the eagerness to give. Needs the eagerness to give with the right purpose or reason or motive. So I think I'll just say two things. I'll try to just say two things and then end. This is another theme. It's abundant in the first canto, and from time to time it's repeated again. It's this do-do-do-do-do. You know, message that is again a qualitative how to have the hearing process more effective. I can share with you from a traveling sannyasi perspective, people often ask the how-to question and then fill in the blank, but it's right here. You know, read Prabhupada's books and you know how to. He's not holding back information. Because it's not just information. It's the application. The how to is right there. And a refrain in the Bhagavatam, starting with the first canto, multiple examples of this. Before hearing, it is appropriate that one's heart is open to the source of that sound. And therefore, words, or if not words, the heart's opening to the source of that sound. In this case, it's Shukadev Goswami speaking, but he's speaking about Maitreya speaking to Vidura, and that's all compiled by Vyasadeva, and you know, ultimately Krishna is the source, is the point. When there's the transparent connection to Krishna as the source. It's important, not just here, but from the right source. Then the eagerness to hear from the right source becomes awakened. It makes the hearing process more effective. And so the message that we hear as a refrain is it's important to have the heart open, it's said in different ways, to the source of spiritual sound, because that makes the shravanam, or the hearing process, more effective. Prabhupada shared two things in relation to himself. He, Prabhupada, liked to hear. One of the examples that he gave is during the Brajmandal Parikrama that Bhaktisiddhanta would annually conduct. In the evening hour, there was this opportunity, A or B. A, you can go to the places of Krishna's pastimes in Braj. Someone will lead that group. Or B, you can stay here and hear from Bhaktisiddhanta speak. Prabhupada said, many or most or something like that of the pilgrims on the Brajmandal Parikrama, they wanted to go see the places, so that's what they did. And Prabhupada stayed, and he heard. And Prabhupada's explanation, sometimes I wouldn't understand. But I had faith that this is going to purify my existence. And sure enough. And then later, at the time of the initiation, Bhaktisiddhanta remarked, this man, he likes to listen. And Prabhupada said, that's why I'm able to speak now, the way that I speak, because I heard. I received, and now I can give. And my goodness, what has he given? To the world. Because the desire, the compassionate desire, not the rescuer of the world, but the instrument of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Bhaktisiddhanta in the disciplic succession. Unstoppable. Pure. Because he had this eagerness to hear. Tamal Krishna Maharaj described a similar situation during Pandal programs, sometimes in India. Prabhupada recognized the audience wasn't educated enough to understand him speaking in English, so he spoke in Hindi. And so the devotees would sit on the stage and have kirtan, and then when it came time for class, Prabhupada would start speaking in Hindi, and the sannyasis looked at each other and were getting up to get off the stage because they couldn't understand anything. Prabhupada stopped his speaking and said, stay and listen. Even if you can't understand, it will purify your existence. It will purify you. So that became the standard. Even they couldn't understand. Now, I don't know how often that happened, but I'm just addressing a principle. Even if you don't understand, that's not the criterion. By hearing in the right mood, cleansing will take place, and then gradually, oh, isn't it? Like you're reading Bhagavad Gita. How many times have you read Bhagavad Gita? And each time you read Bhagavad Gita, you find something new. It was always there. But, you know, there was something obscuring your hearing. You know, the unwanted things in the heart, or the dust on the mirror of the mind, or whatever the metaphor. But when the purification does take place, then messages that are embedded awaken. And one last little sharing, and I'm done. One of the places that I visit is Houston, Texas. And one time I was visiting, and it was late in the afternoon because I arrived a little bit late, but lunch was served. So in situations like that, I'm sitting alone, lunch is served. I have a little tablet, and it has all kinds of recordings, Prabhupada recordings, so it's just playing a Prabhupada recording. And the room that I was staying in was right next to another room. I didn't even know there was somebody in the other room. But Keshava Bharati emerged from the other room. And he raised his hands in the air and said, "You've won my heart." I said, "What?" And then he explained that if you know Keshava Bharati Maharaj, it makes it even sweeter because he says, he's so emotive, filled with devotional emotions. But just keeping it simple, he said, "I've come to the stage in my life where I just want to hear Prabhupada and read Prabhupada and speak Prabhupada." So he described later, he has all these methodologies where he's making abundantly available. He has a class. He just reads. During the Kartik month, he and a group of devotees just read. They don't discuss. Maybe there's a little discussion at the end, but it's hearing Prabhupada. He's accepted the service on behalf of the BBT to make audio books of Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. He just reads. Why? It's right here. Bhakti awakens just by hearing. And so I'm going to be conducting a japa retreat there, similar to here this weekend, sometime in March. I found out he's going to be there. I invited him to take part. He said, I do 3 hours of recording for the BBT, and that's important to me. I do 3 hours of japa every morning, and I have this reading class that's an hour and a half. So my voice is really important. I have to preserve my voice. If my voice is good, I can do it. But what I would want to do is just read. So we're going to do that. And if he can't because his voice isn't good, somebody else is going to read. So someone's preparing a script for Keshava Bharati Maharaj to read, or his substitute, whoever that's going to be. Why? The message we just heard. Hearing from a pure devotee. In this case, about the holy name. But hearing from a pure devotee, that's what we're hearing here, Prabhupada's purports, about a pure devotee. Swayambhuva Manu. And Shatrurupa. And their activities and their qualities from a pure devotee. Exactly what Prabhupada wrote. So when you hear this phrase, "Please read Prabhupada's books," get your compass out, make sure you're headed in the right direction. It's not for information's sake. It's for awakening bhakti's sake. Hear it with that in your heart, and then hear in that way. And such hearing gets you closer to pure devotional service. This Chaita Darpana Marjanam feature, just like chanting, that's what our holy name workshop is intended to do, bring that into focus so that the quality or the depth of our chanting gets better, stronger, more purification, closer to the goal, closer to clarity what the goal is, instead of distracted chanting, focused chanting. Small thing, big thing. Okay. Any discussion?
Thank you, Maharaj. I really like the point how you mentioned in the beginning, how Srimad Bhagavatam is not information, but it's something alive, something...
Transformation. Yeah. So now?
So we hear the same thing about in regards to the holy name. Mm-hmm. These are not just words, but these are spiritual. It's a spiritual personality. You know?
Yes.
So one devotee asked me recently, and I couldn't answer him properly. He was mentioning we say Harinam Prabhu. We say it's a person, and we say Bhagavatam also is a person. But our understanding of person is that a person should have a human-like form, which is not the case in this Bhagavatam or the holy name. They have a different form, a form which we don't have a conception of. But there's two persons. Is that correct?
Yes. But you know, almost correct.
Hmm.
Even Krishna's spiritual form is not human-like, it's the other way around.
Hmm.
And a little editing of the language, the Bhagavatam is also the form of Krishna.
Hmm.
According to Padma Purana, all 12 cantos makes the form, spiritual form of Krishna, and Krishna is a person, and the name is a spiritual form. So one of the classes on Saturday is going to be explicitly on this topic.
Hmm.
There's the Nama and Nami from Padma Purana, taken by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in one of his songs. He uses the phrase vacha and vachaka. But it's also in the 11th canto, if I remember correctly, of the Bhagavatam, where the same Sanskrit phrase is used. And they're both person. Now, is the form human-like? Not really. Is the form real? Yes. So what's a spiritual form that has no material elements? What's a spiritual form that has, it's Krishna's spiritual form. And the name and the Bhagavatam are similarly, and the deity. So that's a concept that, from using the lens of the contaminated mind, it doesn't, you can't see it. But it's person. Not a human-like form, but a spiritual form. And there's no difference, absolutely no difference, between Krishna's Swarup and Krishna's name and the Bhagavatam and the deity. Yes?
It's interesting you're talking about the person you met in Houston, Texas. And
Keshavardi Maharaj,
this devotee.
Yes.
And how he's just inspired to read and hear from a place of bhakti.
Yes.
And
specifically Prabhupada.
Specifically Prabhupada,
He didn't want to hear from anyone else.
Yes.
He wants to hear from Prabhupada because of his faith in Prabhupada, the deliverer. Everything is there.
Mm.
We don't need to go anywhere else. He's convinced.
Yes. I've been reading Bhagavatam regularly, more regularly, and when I read, like recently I was reading this Conversations between Narada Muni and Vyasadeva, mm-hmm, in the first canto, and the implications it has on my life are incredibly profound. And if I were to give myself permission to accept that implication on my life, it feels incredibly naive and...
Why?
Because...
Explain that. Why incredibly naive? Because you're not qualified?
Yes.
Okay. You're here, and they're there, but it's not naive to say it has implication in your life. You're here, and you want to get closer to there. It has implication in your life. It's not naive.
Mm.
That, in fact, that's the intention, is to impact your life, the hearer, you, and me, and Keshavardi Maharaj, anybody else that hears with that intent, to get closer to that place that they are, just by hearing.
I want to say I'm really grateful to be here with you, Maharaj. It's you and your disciples, like, you've had a really big role in my life. And now, I was meditating on you before coming here, and and I was thinking, you know, Maharaj is going places, and he's touching people's hearts by speaking about Krishna, and he's... And that's, you know, that's what Narada Muni is telling Vyasadeva. You know, you've given people the Vedas and all this and that, but ultimately it's useless if they don't have Krishna. And book distributors who are really brave and on the streets giving people Prabhupada's books, I mean, practically sometimes tricking people into getting Prabhupada's books, and it's still for their benefit. And it's just, you know, when I'm thinking, you know, most people don't want to hear about Krishna.
Yeah.
And but the implication I feel is, like, I want to give people Krishna, and at the same time I want to give people something that can just help them from where they are now,
sure,
which may not be giving them Krishna,
okay,
directly.
Good.
But I want to be able to do that. That's what you're doing.
Okay, great. Nothing you can comment.
Thank you.
Take the microphone from him. Beware of anything that may be perceived as tricking the person. Here's a reason why. I'll give a little story. I was attempting one time to... The city of New York has a zoo called the Bronx Zoo. And I met the administrator of the Bronx Zoo and was requesting permission to distribute books at the city property. And he knew, you know, we have rights to be there. And he was kind of not saying no, but not saying yes. So I was being patient, not pushy. And, you know, after the fifth visit, he disclosed to me his resistance. My son got a book. And without the details of what he was told, he liked the book. But he felt resentful to what was said to him to getting the book. It was with a time we were doing records also along with the books. And it was a lie. He was deceived and he felt cheated. He said, I, the director of this zoo, I don't want that to happen to the people in the zoo. That happened to my son. He said, I'm saying this to you because you're not like that. But some of your people are like that. So I don't want your organization here. I know you have your rights. And, you know, the implication was, I could give you permission, it can make your life so miserable your people won't want to be here. But it's because... the deception that took place, that the opportunity for many people to get Krishna consciousness was that the door was locked, or the gate, or whatever. And there's other examples. I mean, now, on the other side, I sat in the room when Prabhupada was being questioned by a certain president. The devotees are saying this. And Prabhupada's question, is that against the law to say this? He said, no, but Prabhupada said, well, when you're conducting, he didn't necessarily like say it's okay. But he said, he gave the example, sometimes a salesperson will say something that's an exaggeration. Take this cream and rub it on your head, you make your hair grow. That's part of marketing. He didn't use that word, but now, because people did stuff like that, it created some negativity towards people who heard from those people. And so there was a stigma against people receiving our books. So fortunately, some time passed and Vaisheshika Prabhu and others have been promoting in a more straightforward method. But Prabhupada said, I heard him say it, you can take anything, find out what somebody's interested in, and say, the Bhagavatam teaches that something. Because all knowledge is there. And you, not a stretch of imagination, but it's in this book. Knowledge about this thing that you're interested in from ancient wisdom perspective. I think you'll like it. So be careful. You can be a marketing person at the same time careful. I'm just remarking about, you know, even to the point of deception or tricking. Be careful. Chant and be happy. Hey, you guys say chant and be happy, and you know, I'm chanting and I'm still unhappy. False advertising. Yeah.
Are you going to keep the mic away?
Yeah, after you, when you're done, he'll take it away.
Some time back, this is before my trip to Houston, I read this book, which was given to a friend, and I picked it up from him. It's called Divine Message. No. What is it? Divine Mercy, Message, and Devotion. It's actually about Jesus, and it's like a saint, and she had these like experiences.
Okay,
and it was really profound. Like, it was about trusting in mercy, giving that mercy, and then...
Sure.
I bought four of those before going to Texas, and I was giving those to my family members because they're Christian.
Fine.
And it touched me.
Fine.
But it's not Krishna.
That's okay. You're making a bridge. And they know you're Krishna-centered, and you're respecting them. They're Jesus-centered. That's fine. And then they, you know, they may ask you, if you respect the Jesus-centered, why are you doing the Krishna-centered? But let them ask you rather than, you know, you push it. You're being respectful. It's interfaith. With family members. It doesn't have to be non-family members to do interfaith. It can be family members.
Anyone.
Yeah. The, you know, mysticism and faith are part of any inspired, like, evangelism kind of a thing. People have experiences. We're not denying they have experiences. How complete is it? What's the source of everything? That source of everything can exchange with you because you have faith in that source of everything. Let's hear something further and further and further and further about that source of everything. And that source of everything is Krishna. That's why Krishna. You don't discriminate against non-Krishna. You're worshipping the Sringadev? Forget it. You're worshipping Ramchandra? Forget it. You got to worship Krishna. That's not it. You're worshipping God in a name that you have faith in, or a representative you have, and even if you think that representative is God, you know, I'm not going to blast you. It's just incomplete understanding. You know, but I'm not, I'm up here and you're down there, kind of. You know, you're an instrument, a nimitta, an instrument to help bring people closer to Krishna, which is what you did. Fantastic. So then they can appreciate, wow, our son is a Krishna guy, but he has respect for us. He's not thinking, my parents, I was concerned. My parents might think, you guys didn't teach me the right stuff. I knew. They didn't say it. They weren't like that. But I was concerned that they might think that. You didn't do the right thing for me. And I've rejected what you did for me, and I've got something that's really the right thing for me. Because you didn't do it. Just the opposite. I'm very grateful for what they gave me. and I'm grateful to Prabhupada for taking me to the next, you know, stage, not disrespecting what I received or the person who I received it from. It's just not complete. So the button that triggered was vegetarianism. I didn't talk anymore after that button got triggered. Shubhra has a question or topic.
I have two questions. The first question is on this topic of hearing about the activities of devotee. So one of the things that I was kind of connecting with this narration, and like the final verse of Bhagavad Gita, when it speaks about the who is the topmost of all yogis. So in that verse, there is this a description where it's not just the yogi who knows how to restrain the senses, but the yogi who knows how to engage the senses and everything fully in service.
Good.
So when I was hearing about that, the importance of hearing about devotees and their activities,
yes,
is nurturing our faith and also giving us role models of what does it mean to have a goal of Swarup in a Vyavasthiti and not just going out of the temporary.
Yes.
So that is when we kind of relate with anything as mundane, is because it's not the activity that's mundane, it's the consciousness.
Yes.
And these pastimes or these narrations are cleansing our conception at that level and showing us, is that the right understanding?
Absolutely. And I'll take it further. We're trying to be devotees. And in trying to be devotees, one of the wishes that we have, following the perfected souls, is to extend to others the message of devotion and ultimately the message of pure devotion reposed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now we have to be careful, depending upon the audience, how we do that, so they don't get triggered. But one of the best ways is showing by example. That's achar is stronger than prachar. Show by example. So be a role model. Following the role models. We're way down here. But be a role model. You know, be a role model. See Narada as a role model and become, not imitate, but follow the role model of Narada, who gives bhakti all over the universe. And we do it in our own little way. So how are we going to understand how to, by those who show us how to? So there's the teaching, and then there's the example, and we follow the example. And then as we try to follow the example, there's things in my heart that are blocking me from that example. Like the question last night, the sociologist lady, who people have their consciousness or their conscience, and they know something and they do something else, sociologically. So there's a big gap. And how to bridge the gap? Well, the obstacle is impurities of the heart between what we know and what we do. And the method is hearing. And hearing about the ideal role models will help us. Okay, the second one.
We have time for a second?
Hmm?
Do we have time for a second?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm looking at the clock and it's time to end after this one.
So this is not exactly related with the class, but the inspiration was coming from the class when you were talking initially about the words, specifically the Sanskrit words, that they have a potency to unfold in.
Yes.
So I asked that question in the last retreat also. Somehow I'm struggling with this word nishchayat.
Which one?
Nishchayat. From Nectar of Instruction, attitude
nishchayat.
Of nishchayat. This word is not unfolding for me for some reason, and I need to hear more about it.
That's really clear. I wasn't clear when you were asking the other day. So, nishchayat. Well, I can make a very simple suggestion that is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a whole chapter on each one of the six and the six. The book is called Bhakti Loka. It's available in English. And you get a whole chapter's worth of Bhaktivinoda Thakur elucidating on what does that word mean. Can't do better than that. Now, I don't mind sharing something, but it's going to be a smidgen compared to a whole chapter. Basically, in simple terms, it's deep faith or confidence. That is enthusiasm and patience, but I have full confidence. I can continue, although chant and be happy, and I'm not happy yet. And I'm not doubting if I chant I'll become happy. So I have enthusiasm to chant. I'm patient for the result because nishchayat. I know it's going to take me to the good place. The place of pure consciousness. It's going to take me to Krishna. Confidence. Surety. Now, in the immature stage, it's unsteady. Sometimes and sometimes. Sometimes more, sometimes less. But as bhakti matures, it becomes dridha, very firm. The result doesn't necessarily come quickly, but very firm. That's in the nishtata stage, or nishta stage of bhakti, firm. I'm not there yet. There's still some anarthas, residual anarthas remaining, but the bhakti is very strong. So we need to come to that stage. We're not there yet, but that's going to help bring the fruit of bhakti. So I'll say the same thing in different terms, quoting Jiva Goswami, one of my heroes. He, in Bhakti Sandarbha, he quotes, of all people, Patanjali. And a little background on how Jiva Goswami does what he does. He's a Paramahansa. He can take gold from a filthy place. Now, the conclusion, I say that because the conclusion of Patanjali is you become Paramatma. He acknowledges Paramatma in the Yoga Sutras. And the goal? Become Paramatma. Nonetheless, Jiva Goswami quotes him because he has a really good definition of abhyasa, or our word is sadhana. Sadhana or abhyasa. And quoting Patanjali in Bhakti Sandarbha, he says anything that is to be considered practice has three parts. It's embedded right. It's embedded right in Prabhupada's purport. I could go and show you and unpack it, but it doesn't quote Patanjali. He just says it. It's there. Three parts for practice. Abhyasa. Abhyasa, yogi, yogtena, chetasana, nigamino. Abhyasa means every day, over a prolonged period of time, now here comes the nishchayat, with confidence, There's a Sanskrit term which I don't remember. It's going to take you there. You have a clear sense of where it will take you, and you have confidence it will take you there. Then, with any one of those three that's missing, it's not abhyasa. You do it occasionally. You don't do it over a sustained period of time. You don't have confidence. Some can do it mechanically. They can think, hey, it's piety. And I do piety, that's one of the offenses against the holy name. It's piety, and I'll get good piety, and I can enjoy and prosper in heaven. It's not a karmakanda thing. So nishchayat includes proper understanding of what the goal is. That comes from hearing from a pure devotee what the goal is and how to get there. It's in Bhagavad Gita, but people misinterpret Bhagavad Gita. So if you hear Bhagavad Gita as it is, instead of a scholarly rendering, then you can get it. So read it regularly from the right source, with the right purpose. The why inside is oriented towards what Krishna wants for you. That's the nishchayat. Now, that's my way of saying Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives references, and of course the language is different. Do you have access to that book? Because I'm not, okay, because I could send you a copy of that chapter if you want. You have access. Okay. I think we should end. It's already 9:30. Happy holidays, everybody. Glad you could come. Especially the kids. Nice school day. Hey. Good use of your holiday time.
Should have got a time.
Yeah.